If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, oh, oh. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here, and the lights are on, and they wanna show. Oh, 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 yeah.
And welcome to the Spotlight. This is week two. The Spotlight is a show where we focus on film, machinima filmmakers, VO actors, and modders. Today's guest is the wonderful Anima Technica, a.k.a. Gabe. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, Kente, how you doing? Enjoying the sunshine down here. Oh, thank you, thank you. Likewise.
It's great to have you. As always, we have our two co-hosts. Actually, this is her debut. She couldn't make it last week. But first co-host is Neonson. What's up, Neon?
Hi, guys. Doing great. How are you guys doing this week?
Hey, Neonson.
Hi, Gabe. Nice to meet you, man.
Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, for me, I do a site called Tyler Z Online. I've been on YouTube for 2 years now. This week, we premiered a little trailer for Dying in the New World Let's Play. I've done a couple of music videos, but one of them is on TMU. It's our mascot character sings a song, and I do it as an anime music video. But some good news, I've started Machinima with the movies. It's called 50s Robots Amok or something like that. It was a test video, so I'm hoping to get more into the movies, which is great. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you.
And we have Maester Solaris making her debut on the show. How you doing, Solaris?
Great. How is everybody doing?
Doing good.
Awesome. She's a machinima filmmaker, and she's been around a long time. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, I do machinima with the movies, and I do some voice acting as well. And I've been on YouTube for about 3 years. And yeah, just making machinima with the game.
All right, and we actually have a clip from one of your series called Life with Michael.
Yeah,
so we're gonna play a clip from her show Life with Michael, so the audience can get an idea of what her material is. So, Monk.
All right, Michael. How about we play a game of bullet dodge? Maybe that will make you feel better.
Okay. But I get to choose which weapons we can use.
Okay, whatever you say. All right. You guys know the rules, right? Whoever gets hit by a bullet is automatically out. And if you have a pretty lousy medical insurance, well, you pretty much can't play. Alright?
HMOs suck.
Yeah. Alright, let's do it. Eat hot death, you motherfuckers! Here, take this.
Aw, shit! Michael, you can't use the name! That's cheating!
Yay!
That's an idea of some of the work in Solaris.
Yeah, it's just pure randomness.
That sounds like a fun video. I gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Bullet dodge. It's an East LA game.
Yes, bullet dodge.
All right, so those are our two co-hosts, Neonson and Maester Solaris. But our guest today is the wonderful Gabe, also known as Anima Technica, who recently released his new film, The Bard, Act 2. So it's the second part of a six-part trilogy, right?
That's right. So you'll be a five-part series, and still in the process of writing some of these sections there. It's one of those things where, you know, as soon as you get the second part done, you have ideas for the third part that, you know, kind of changes the story a little bit from what I originally envisioned. So we're still working on that part.
Okay. Now, before we get into the Bard part two, act two, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so let's see, what can I say? Well, I've been doing machinima with iClone since iClone first came out. I actually probably am one of the first people that tried to use iClone for movie making. And myself and a few other people were the original members of CoolClones.com, which is a fan forum for all things iClone. So in the beginning, there was not many sets, costumes, or anything that you could use with iClone. It was a very, very basic program, basically good for dance videos. In fact, my very first video was something called Bush Hates Me, and I posted it in YouTube. And it was a parody, you know, a parody song with Saddam Hussein singing Bush Hates Me. And, you know, YouTube featured it, and I've got about, like, I had about, like, 50,000 hits in a space of one week on that particular video. But since that point, I kind of moved on and started exploring movies, and now that it's version 4, iClone has a certain visual quality that I think it's pretty good, considering it's a machinima machine.
So, with the Bard, I watched it today. It's very well done. I watched only Act 2. But from what I've seen, you choreographed it very well. And it seems like you really took the time using the iClone software. I looked at it. How long did it take you to use that software to incorporate it with the Bard Act 2?
So actually, when I did iClone, when I did Act 2, I would say I started on it in, I'd say February. So February we released Act 1, and for Act 2 it took me about, I guess till I released it, maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and a lot of it was, as you said, choreographing the action and designing the costumes and the sets. You know, a lot of times I had to re-render because I didn't like the way something looked, so I redid it again. And the thing I focused on in this particular episode was the actual movement or the sword fighting. And if you remember some of the scenes, I wanted to make sure that the sword fighting is smooth as can be. iClone has always been described as very stiff in terms of animation, very robotic. So I wanted to make sure that at least with this episode, I put a little bit of effort in making it smooth, making the fight scene smooth, and you know, that was my goal for doing this. So I'd say about 6 weeks altogether, from costume design, set design, choreographing the action, and getting it all out put together. So from a process standpoint, since Goof Parade did all the scoring and all the music, we basically, I rented a draft version, sent it to him, very low-res version, and so he could get an idea of, you know, how to program the music and so on. And, you know, what he turned back to me was just mind-blowing, just how he did the music, just fit the movie perfectly.
Musical, that's beautiful, yes.
Yeah, so I have a question. Where did you get the inspiration to create the Bard? Like, where do you get your ideas, like, from books or TV shows that have, like, sort of like a Middle Earth type of feel, or?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to, I've been a fantasy genre fan for a long time.
Oh, cool.
Tolkien, you know, Lord of the Rings, my favorite movie. So, I actually, before I started The Bard, I put in my mind, I was two movies I wanted to make. One was I wanted to make The Hobbit, and I wanted to beat Peter Jackson in terms of getting it out there.
Yeah.
And then another thing that Tolkien had another book called Children of Húrin, and I wanted to also do that, since if Hobbit does come out, at least I'll have something else that's different along that same lines as Tolkien. So as a way to get there, I wanted to try out the fantasy, what I could do with it first. So that's where The Bard came out. So it's loosely set in the Middle Earth type environment or universe. If you look at some of the maps that's shown in the beginning of the movie, that's a Middle Earth map, just customized a little bit.
Now, what was the writing process like for, we'll start with the first part. how do you begin to tell a story like that, or begin to even come up with such a in-depth storyline?
Actually, that's the hard part for me. I don't consider myself a good writer. I basically think in scenes, and so I have the overall plot line, which is this kid, his family gets slaughtered. I mean, typical fantasy genre cliche, right? His village gets burned down, his family gets attacked, and he wants to go get revenge. So it's just a matter now of designing the action around that. And one of the things that I cannot, you know, because a lot of the things I cannot describe, or it may not be necessarily put in dialogue, you know. So I had Ricky Grove basically play the role of the narrator to kind of tell the story. So it helps cut out a bunch of areas or sections that, you know, might take too long to animate or to film. So I had him narrate parts of the story and, you know, what the bard's thinking to kind of get that out of the way. And as the series will continue, he'll basically play that role as I call him the tale giver, who kind of describes some of the thoughts and some of the action, the background action, to kind of help set the stage for what they're seeing on the screen.
iClone. Why do you choose to use iClone? Were there other programs that you looked through before you got to iClone?
So yeah, actually, I started with Poser. I was a user of Poser 1 up to the Poser 7. And, you know, I've had Poser for a while. I've been using it for a while. But what I found myself doing is doing technical exercises just to learn it. So, okay, let me see if I could make clothes that flow. I did that. Let me see if I could make him jump up and down. I did that. But I could never get to the point where I could actually put it all together and make a movie, because it was just too much time, too much complexity. So when iClone came out, it was a lot, you know, I found it a lot easier to use. And then I also tried MovieStorm, downloaded the demo, tried it out. And I also have the movies and tried it out as well. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I just got comfortable with the iClone workflow. The other engines are pretty good as well. But I just got used to the iClone workflow. It's kind of hard to break away. So I kind of stuck with it for my primary movie making engine.
Now, what was the first film you created with iClone?
So I talked about the music video, Bush Hates Me. Then there was a sequel called, let's see, what was that? Saddam from Iraq. It's another music video. The first actual movie I made was, it's called Tales of Grey Old. It's a trilogy made with iClone 1, and you could, you know, it's still at YouTube at my website, my channel. And you could see some of the early types of iClone movies. It's, you know, pretty basic, not very good visually, but it was a trilogy of another, you know, fantasy story.
Okay. Awesome. Now, you said that you know, played around with iClone and Poser. So what exactly got you into making Machinima?
I guess it's just an interest in telling stories. Mm-hmm. So I've always been thinking, cool, if I could tell a story about, you know, because I read the books, I like it. I go, what happens if there's this, you know, different tangent to it? And so put that into a Machinima form.
Oh, cool.
Well, when it came to entering the Machinima community, was it a smooth transition for you?
The other thing also that inspired me is watching other videos. I mean, obviously, TMU has a gazillion Machinima movies, different engines. So you...
Blackbird fly.
Welcome back. Sorry, as you know, with live radio, you're going to have issues, but we're back. So I'm sorry, Gabe. Yeah, I did. I put that back. You should.
Actually, it was a good excuse to refill the drinks, right?
What do you got here, a Hennessy? Okay, so where were we? I'm so sorry.
So I was asking what just basically was it a smooth transition for you, Gabe, to get into the Muslim community?
Actually, it was pretty smooth. In the beginning, we were basically just within our own iClone community, you know, just doing our movies and sharing it with each other, and we didn't know about the big general community out there until actually Dulcie, who's out in the chat room, came over to the Reillusion website and opened our eyes to the bigger world that was out there, you know, introduced us to TMU, and, you know, from that point on, we were able to kind of discover more avenues to show the films.
Nice.
And hi, Dulcie. That's somebody I would love to have as a guest as well on the show. I want to put that out there. I love her work as well. All right, now that you have you have the Bard out, but before that you had Sojourner. Can you talk a little bit about that piece?
Yeah,
that
so
was a really nice one as well.
Thank you. So Voyages of the Sojourner is a steampunk sci-fi theme movie. Basically, you know, it's one of those, if you look at Star Trek where you have an ensemble cast, they go out in the starship to explore. Well, it was kind of along the same lines, except, you know, here's this guy riding pirate ships that fly in the air, exploring uncharted land. So that was kind of the premise behind it. So the idea is, you know, you've got this 18th century clothing, 18th century language or lingo and weapons, but they have airships and other robots type things. So it's a combination of sci-fi and steampunk theme. And the inspiration for that, you know, obviously I go back to Star Trek where they go out and explore. So I wanted to do a similar type of theme where you go out, you have a bunch of explorers go out, but this time set it back into that type of genre. Because there's quite a bit of very good sci-fi ensemble cast type series out there. You know, you got The Conquest, Galaxy at War, Enigma, all of those at TMU are very good. So I wanted to do something a little bit different than that.
Oh, okay. I mean, the visual style is fantastic. I mean, one thing is the textures are so done so well. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I was looking at iClone, but, you know, I saw the work that you did, and I was like, wow. You know, it was kind of, in a way, intimidating. It was so good. How do you even get to that, you know, where you can make textures as well?
Yeah, well, one thing that iClone does, it provides you a lot of flexibility that, you know, a lot of, you know, like for myself, there's a lot of features I haven't even touched yet in iClone to make, you know, my life easier. I haven't, because I just want to get the movie done. I didn't want to spend time learning certain features. But it does provide you with a lot of flexibility. So you could go, you know, by just changing the lighting, for example, you could change the way something looks in iClone. So some of those things that you see, for example, in the Bard, if you turn the lighting all the way up, you could see they're pretty average, not that good. But with the right lighting, with the right shadows, you make it look kind of good. And iClone's render engine is pretty good that way, because it's able to provide a pretty good, robust lighting system to let you do that. And for the costumes, you could actually put layers. You could have your color, you could have bump maps and specularity maps, so you have areas of the costumes that shine. And pretty much the way it works with iClone is you just have a paint program and you open up the, they give you a JPEG file that is an outline of the clothing, and you just paint on it and then save that back to the character, and that's what he'll be wearing.
Now, is this like the Machinima, you know, like telling, like how you say that this is like a way to like tell a story? Is this something that you would like to do, like in the future, like as a career or something?
Not as a career. I have a career now that occupies a lot of time, so so this is more of like my stress relief. You know, it won't be as fun.
Monk, are you here, Monk? Oh, okay. I would like to bring in, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Bard, but we're going to bring in Jake Chief, who played a significant role. But we want to play a clip, Jake's clip, and then bring him in.
Just the thought what he did makes me angry. But I am jumping ahead. But how do you get through these days?
Very well, Chronicler. I'm sure your ink is wet. He ran from the village for who knows how long.
Impressive.
All right. So we're going to bring in Jake Chief.
Jake, answer the phone.
Answer, please.
Okay, so while we're waiting for Jake to join us, look at me trying to stall.
Actually, while we're waiting for Jake, can I make a big plug?
Oh, quick sure. Plug? Let's do that.
So I Mifune Akira's 2010 trailer competition. Check it out. I do have an entry in there. So if you guys that are Tolkien fans, there's something kind of nice there for you.
Nice.
All right. And it's called the...
It's called the Nabbit.
The Nabbit.
My entry to the Mifune trailer competition.
Okay. Is Jake alive?
Where'd he go?
Okay, we'll wait before when deal. Ah, okay. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the casting for the Bard too. How did you go about casting the different roles? We'll save Jake for last, but and let's talk about the cast.
So the cast. So each episode is slightly different. So Act One, we had a couple of different people that voiced the acting. So Raven to Angel, she's from the UK, voiced the mother of the Bard, and then Jake played the young kid, the Bard, and now he's also playing the role of the Acolyte, who's you know, the chronicler of the whole tale. So he did kind of double duty here. And then we had Ricky Grove, who is the tale giver. So Ricky has been in a lot of actual TV shows and movies. He's you know, if you look him up at the Sojourner, and I asked him if he could do the same this role in the Bard as well, and he accepted, and I'm definitely very lucky to have him on board because he always produces such great work. And then Killian, who plays the role of Lord Abu Qatar. So Killian has a very small speaking role in the second episode. We'll have more speaking roles for him in later on. That could fit in for a new character that I'm thinking of having. And so we added that character that he played in the Bard Act, who basically is now... he's a good-looking guy, very calm, you know, very cool-looking, and he talks very slow, but you know, deep down inside, he's pretty cruel. So you know, we got him for that role, and then finally, K4 filled in the role of Galen, who's the bartender, that's the Bard's friend. In this role, he plays a little bit about 35-year-old guy, a little bit more mature. You know, he's got some of his own secrets that, you know, is not revealed yet. But we basically show him taking the Bard in and, becoming his friend. Only at the end of the movie, you could see what happened there. So we'll have more fleshing out to do in his character. And the final character that we had there, is Rainman. Rainman is one of the early iClone guys, and he actually was the one that owns or founded Cool Clone, so he's been around for quite a while, and I asked him to help in the voiceover as the villain. So he has a lot more lines coming up as well, so we'll see that in the next act. I hope I captured everyone there.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark, sorry, I'm sorry. I got to mention Goof Parade.
Goof Parade. Oh, yeah, fabulous Goof Parade.
Who does double duty as the title character as well as the musical director.
Yeah, he did excellent work with the score. It was terrific. It sounded Hollywood quality. Mm-hmm. Jake, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. This is Jake Chief. Introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, I'm Jake Chief. I'm also the host of The Storm Hour, and I was in Gabe's movie, The Bard.
And Sojourner.
Oh, yeah, and Sojourner.
So you're like Tim Burton, and he would be Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's a good compliment. I'll take it.
So, Jake, what was the name of your character again?
Well, I played a cockle light and also Young Bard.
That's right. And how did you like performing in this?
It was really fun, actually. It's always fun performing in Gabe's movies. I really like his scripts and his story ideas. I'm usually not that big fan of fantasy, but I just really like Gabe's style of fantasy, and it was really fun playing a Cockleite in Young Bard. I gotta do some crying in as playing as Young Bard. That's like another side of me that I usually don't do, but I like trying something new. So.
Well, he never says his name in the movie, so it's okay.
Yes, that's good.
So, how did you get into voice acting, Jake?
A while ago. I think it was with, I forget even what movie it was. I did start voice acting with my movies, and then might have been Gabe who was the first. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Monk. Thank you. Yes.
Actually, what was that?
Yeah.
Rednecks, what?
Masters. Yeah.
Actually, Monk, that's where I heard Jake first, and I said, well, I got to cast this kid.
Yeah. That's when I really started my career. Yeah.
So, Jake, did you have any previous acting experience beyond voice acting? Or were you inspired by TV shows or cartoons on television or video games or movies or stuff like that? Or
I've done stuff outside of voice acting, like in plays, and I've been in a couple movies,
Hello?
Yeah, sorry. Hello. Oh.
got all those technical difficulties.
Okay, so,
Yes, son.
So, you have a, Gabe, you have another project that you were going to cast Jake in, right?
Yeah. So we're still working on the Children of Huron. We're right now in the what I would describe as a pre-production, looking at set designs and looking at doing the story or doing the actual outline of the plot. So Jake is doing some research and actually gave him an assignment to read the book, so he could help you out with the script as well as obviously there's a role there for the young bard or the young Turin, I should say. That is, Jake's to fail once he does his research.
All right. So, Jake, do we have you back? No. Okay. Live radio is wonderful. So, So Gabe, have you ever thought about when you released The Bard, did you ever think that it would get the response that it's gotten?
Actually, no, I did not. Typically when I released the movie, it was more of a cool, I was able to do that. And then I kind of ignore what happens afterwards, typically. It's one of those things that I got to get over this hump. And once I get over it, it's like, okay, let's move on to the next one. The Sojourner took me, I guess, 6 months to complete the whole trilogy. And then once it was out there, it was like, okay, now let's move on to the next one. But eventually, I want to connect, like the case of the Sojourner, connect them all into one complete movie, which is about 30 minutes long altogether, and host it in its own website, with pictures and character descriptions and so on. So that's the ultimate goal. We'll do that for the Sojourner, do that for the Bard as well. One thing that I was kind of developed out of this also, actually developed out of the Sojourner, was Machinima.com, which is one of the bigger Machinima sites, contacted me and asked me if I want to join their director's program, which I said, sure, they give it a try, why not? And so basically you just put your video, put a couple of Machinima logos on it, and let them host it and stream it. And so I've done a couple of those things for them. So I plan to put the Bard in it as well. So a couple of weeks down the road, you'll see it coming from Machinima.com.
Oh, great. Yeah. So that it'll give a wider audience for people to check out your show.
Yeah, they do. They do have a wider audience, but they also have a very narrow-minded audience. So.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of kids.
When I put the Sojourner out there, it was received with a lot of hate mail. But I got a lot of private messages from fellow filmmakers that voice support, that they encountered the same experience. So it was cool that way, and to the point where who cares what they say, I just ignore it.
Very cool.
So, Neon, go ahead.
Well, I was just kind of surprised that, Masuma.com has approached you. Has that gone? Oh, hi, Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Oh, so, Gabe, so has Masinema.com treated you well in this case?
Yeah, they approached me and they said they want me to join their director's program. They like what I do. And they sent me this big, long letter that says, they recognize the disparity between the run-and-gun crowd and the serious Machinima makers. And they want to make sure that they voice support to the Machinima makers, but they need to service the other crowd as well. But in their statistics, they showed me some statistics that showed that a lot of the audience that they draw are for actually the movies, although that's not reflected on the movie on the comments. A lot of the inquiries that you get are because of the actual serious movies. So, but they have to service the other crowd as well. But
the Halo crowd.
The Halo crowd, exactly. But they know that down the road, the future, the roadmap is in actual serious content. So that's why they've made a serious effort to actually recruit some Machinima directors.
Well, that's smart. That's showing, I guess, they're realizing where it's at. That's the only way that it's going to get out of just a hobby, having people who do really good work being recognized for it. So.
Right.
That's right.
Well, that's good. So, Jake, you're back, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the question that a lot of people have is, how old are you exactly? Because I know a lot of people are wondering.
Because
that's a rumor that you're 8, and I want you to clarify that. All right, how old is Jake Chief? That's the burning question.
I'll just tell you, old.
Okay. Look at it, you don't want to say it. That's all right. All right, so, Jake. Okay, so, Machinima.com, you said that they gave you death threat? What'd you say, hate mail over Sojourner?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, hate comments. I should not hate mail. Private mail, I got very supportive.
All right.
But the actual comments on the video is pretty bad. So.
Yeah. Well.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just. I guess it. I mean, you already described it. I mean, I'm glad the cinema's taking it a little bit more seriously. I mean, I only watched the Bar Act 2 today, but what I can tell about it is, you know, it's like, it's one of the very best ones I've seen, where you took in the time, and like, I was just very pleasantly surprised. It had an attractive environment, feel, mature story, you know, and it had that, you know, it wasn't like, you know, spastic like some of the other Macinema is and stuff like that I've seen on YouTube. Well, I haven't been on Macinema.com, but they have a YouTube page where it's all wacky. I mean, it's very well done. I mean, I'm sure I'll see some really great ones too, but for what I've seen so far as Macinema goes, it's brilliant, dude. I mean, was that your thoughts coming into Macinema that I'm going to take this kind of seriously? I mean, I'm sure there might be some subtle comedy moments, but was it a choice between serious or comedy, or was it just serious from the get-go?
I think it was more of a combination. I didn't know how to write comedy necessarily, and to me that takes a special touch or talent, especially getting the timing down. So I'm not too versed in that. Likewise, if you look at modern movies, you know, set in modern times, I'm not too comfortable writing dialogue in contemporary times. So I fall back to like fantasy or period pieces, different periods, because it's a lot easier. I find it a lot easier to write, because then I could make it sound awkward, but still be, perhaps that, you know, goes with the time period. So, but yeah, I've been willing to explore a few things. So I've tried some horror. There's actually a short movie that I did that was horror based. Comedy wise, I guess I've done a couple of music video parodies. And then there's also that trailer that I did for the competition. That was kind of a little bit comedic, but I guess somewhat over the naughty side edge, I should say.
Nice.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Kenta, because I'm impressed.
You know, it really bugs me because I've seen some really good Machinima that was on Machinima.com. I don't want to focus too much on Machinima.com. That, you know, it was really good, well written, and they dumped on it. I'm sitting there like, what the hell? You know, it really bugged me to the point where I didn't want to mess with it, you know, anymore. But, you know, I can go on and on about the problems with Machinima.com, but let's not do that. You have the TMU community who is, you know, we're all big fans of your work, Gabe. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. So, I think also for the Machinima, I know you don't want to dwell there, but I just want to, I mean, to me, it's actually okay because it's, you know, hopefully it opens the eyes of, some of the other people out there that, hey, beyond just run and gun, there's actually people that want to make story-based movies, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you said that you haven't been able to write anything in the modern times, but you're looking for someone Solaris's power went out, but you said, so would you be looking for a scriptwriter to write a script for you?
You know, I'm always open to see what other people have done in terms of script. And if it's a cool story that I could do something with, why not? So there's no, I'm not putting any limits or anything like that. So whatever comes up my way, you know, I'll give it a look.
Oh, cool. Because, you know, there's a lot of really good screenwriters in the community. It'd be good to see your filmmaking talents mixed with someone who, you know, who's really good writing scripts. So I would love to see it because you have such a great eye, and it would be really good to see you in that kind of genre.
Thank you.
There's some people. So the voice actors are brilliant. Jake did a great job. And, like, I'm assuming Assassination is the bard, who the storyteller or the narrator is referring to. Their voice acting is excellent. All the cast members. Are some of them, you said one of them is from Hollywood. Has anyone from Hollywood actually approached you or took any more interest besides some of the voice cast?
I could only wish, no. I think it's still, the art form is still in its infant stages, I would say, so it's not quite understood yet by a bunch of people. I mean, they could understand a cartoon like South Park, they could understand 3D animation like Toy Story, but the one in between, which is the Machinima, is still kind of, you know, fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now you have the Bard 2 is, you know, now it's starting to be in their rearview mirror, and now we're coming up on the Act 3. How close are we to a script being finished on that?
So the finish is, I mean, the script is, I think, almost done. It's just a matter now of, you know, certain parts of it, do I want to push it to Act 4 or keep it here? Because there is a character that I want to introduce, and I want to introduce him in Act 3, so I'll have to rearrange a few things to get that going. So...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, we're going to have the Bard have a romantic encounter kind of thing, so that is what I'm working on.
How's that coming along?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's good. I mean, we'll make it PG, you know. Yeah, I don't have the movie storm after Dark Park, so I guess we won't do that.
Jake got it, don't you, Jake?
Jake could do that part of the animation. We'll insert it.
I do have a trial on it, but I have it.
So you've been trying it out, Jake?
Yes, and I've made a demo for it, and I like it.
I bet.
Charge your friends, Jake.
I don't think that you're over 18, Jake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I've been tempted to get it, but I decided not to because I'll play around with it too much, and we don't want that. So, you know, that's the movie storm hour. So today it's iClone. So now, do you? I know you must come across people who want to use iClone, and you know, they want to make films like Gabe. So, what kind of advice you can give somebody who's just starting out with iClone? Me.
So actually, I wrote a diary in the Reillusion forum. Reillusion is a company that makes iClone. So when I was making The Sojourner, I kind of started a production diary on how to approach movie making from a newbie standpoint. You know, how to looking at iClone from a newbie standpoint. So my best advice is. And a lot of people make the mistake of they're trying to learn all the features, right? They want to sit down and learn everything. And my advice is don't make a simple movie, and once you get that down pat, move on to the next one. So in the production diary that I wrote, I talked about, you know, create a scene, put a character in it, and animate the character, and then, you know, render that and move on to the next scene. So, you know, what you get basically is a bunch of different scenes that you connect together, you know, with a video editor. But the main thing is focus on creating the scene, and whatever you need to learn to put that scene together, that's what you need to learn. So for example, if you need to learn how to put texture on an object, learn how to do that instead of trying to learn features A to Z of iClone, because it's going to take you forever.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
So, I mean, do you plan on using ever... software besides iClone if you've like gotten to the point where you mastered it or anything like that?
So actually we do, you know, to me I'm agnostic. I'm more comfortable with iClone, but if for example Movie Storm has a set that I could use it as a background, I'd take it. So one cool thing about iClone is you could actually import videos and use them as background, for example. So you could actually create an animation in Movie Storm. Let's say you have a bar scene in Movie Storm. Make the animation, and then bring that into iClone, and you could populate the foreground with iClone characters, the background with their video from Movie Storm. So, I mean, you could do that. So, to me, it doesn't really matter which one you use. I'm just more comfortable with iClone.
Nice.
Now, besides, you know, Monk, myself, and Jake, what are some of the other filmmakers that you draw inspiration from, machinima filmmakers, iClone and non-iClone?
Well, there's a lot. So Jorge is one.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, he has the Clarks, definitely good. You've got Dulce, who's done quite a bit of movies as well, not only voice acting but making movies. Let's see who else. Kate and Sherwin Liu, who are with Chat Noir Studios.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good filmmakers, and you know I like also the guys that do the series, you know, because they definitely. Doing a series takes a lot of work and a lot of creativity to keep it going week after week. Episode after episode. So mm-hmm. Killian, you know, has done some of that. Chris has done some of that. Definitely, some of those guys I kind of look at what they do and then see. There's a few guys that do different genres that I like as well. So, like Mifune Akira has the series of. I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but it's a bunch of assassins, basically, or hitmen. That's pretty good. It's pretty funny. So there's a few out there that I do admire and I do like watching their work.
Yeah. And it's funny you say Mifune Akira because next week we have Mifune Akira as our guest. And he'll be talking about his latest film. So hopefully the audience will come back and check that out. And it's debuting this Saturday at TMU Theater. I'm sure he'll put a link if he hasn't already. His latest film, which is called Hard Rituals? Was it the title?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard from D.L. Watson, everybody knows D.L. Watson, that it's really good. He said it was excellent. I guess he was able to see it early, and was like, he said it, he was gushing about it. So I'm pretty sure that this Saturday, which I'll be there, I'm sure most of the audience will be there to check it out. So and give him the love, you know, and to support the theater as well as TMU, and support all the machinima filmmakers as well. So I can't wait for that one, and I'm glad that he'll be on next week. So, but
that's a pretty good service that DL provides the community. Definitely, always a fun event having that premiere at the site.
Yeah, and you know it gives the filmmaker a chance to see their own film with a live audience and get people's reaction to it. You know,
right.
You know, a lot of times, sometimes people are kind of talking amongst themselves. You know, joking with each other, but for the most part, people check it out, and you know, they do give really good feedback. And then another thing is, once it's premiered at TMU, and it's up on, at TMU Theater, and then it's up on the site. Please make sure you leave comments, added on TMU, because you know, comments are very important. It's the only way filmmakers know if the work is good or not. You have to leave comments. I need to get better at it. I'm sure we all need to get better at it. So make sure you leave comments. Let the filmmaker know what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it. Always be constructive, though. If you have something that's not negative, something that's negative, or there's something that you didn't like about it, you know, remember that this, you know, this filmmaker worked very hard to produce this, and make sure that when you leave them a comment that is negative, to make sure it's constructive,
right.
That it's not just, you know, that it's not just, oh, you suck, you know, like,
right.
Actually point it out, you know, be intelligent. You know,
yeah,
be exactly. Intelligent about
it. You know, like I said, I like actionable critique, so tell me tell me about my lighting that you could make this a little bit better. I like that because it's something I could take action on. But if you tell me, oh, that kind of sucked, it doesn't give me anything to go on, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then, you know, we have Chris and Matt from The Weekly Look, and they review films in their shows every Saturday as well. And, you know, that's another service to the community to get criticism for their films. And, it's, you know, I really appreciate it. So, you know, so before we head out, the end of the show, do you have anything you want to plug or websites or whatever?
No, I do have a website I'm working on. It's kind of a work in process, but check it out. www.animatechnica.com.
Okay, and you can post that in the chat.
Yep, so hopefully we'll host some of my movies there down the road.
And Jake, do you have anything? When is Cheyenne Part 2 coming out? And do you have anything else? Voice acting or just anything otherwise?
Yeah, you can expect Cheyenne Part 2 coming out about next month. You can expect... you can expect a few trailers for my new show coming out this summer. And if you want me as a voice actor, that'll be great. You can Skype me. My Skype is JakeChief2. So, yeah.
And get Jake. He's a pretty good young VO actor. You know, there's not a lot of people who can give the community what Jake can give you. So, you know. So if you want the young person in the film, Jake is the one to go after.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything, Neon?
Well, just to let you guys know, TLZ Online will be back next week with Paranormal Heroes 2 Let's Play. And I'm working on Dawn of the World, getting in there. I'm going to soon be making a shout-out about the Spotlight show, and I'm hoping to do an interview with you, Kenta, on the TLZ chat panel. I would like to also try to get some episodes of the shows on TLZ Online so people there on YouTube can actually come there as free advertisers for you, Kendra. You do a great job. And same for you, Mark. So, and I'll try to get some shout-outs for Gabe and Jake as well. I got to put that on my to-do list. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
And I believe most of the people in the chat room, if you wanted to, they'll be willing to do interviews and stuff. They're pretty good about that. So if you hit them up as you see them in the room. So, you know. So part three we can expect in a couple of months?
Part three in a couple of months, yep. It should go faster this time since we have most of the sets and costumes already designed. Just a matter of plugging it in and animating it.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm sure the community is excited about it. And anything that you produce is always good. I've seen a lot of your stuff, especially over the last couple of weeks, and I was very impressed. So I consider myself a fan of, so as well as a fan of Jake's as well. So.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, so, Monk, do you have anything?
The only thing I've got is make sure you tune in next Wednesday night for Thursday night at the movies.
Wednesday night?
Now I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to meet people's schedules. Doc's going to be stuck doing Wednesday nights, but I think starting... at the end of next week, King will be playing hockey on Wednesday night, so we have to move it back to Thursdays. It's just that we're trying to work in the Doc's working schedule because he works in the evening sometimes, and it's easier for us to catch him on Wednesday nights here lately. It has to do with his school schedule and all that. Last night we did They Saved Hitler's Brain. So God only knows what movie we'll be doing.
What was that about?
We're not sure. We watched the movie, and even at the end of it, we were still not sure. The entire first 30 minutes of the movie had absolutely nothing to do with the last 60 minutes of the movie. So
They Saved Hitler. Oh man, is that on Netflix?
it's free domain. You can watch it for free. I'm probably going to post this in our archives and along with the link to the movie. So you can listen along to the movie and our comments as it goes along. And who knows, you might like it and come listen to us live. Eventually, we will be in our usual Thursday night slot right after this show. But not next week, I don't think. So
hey, what was what was the other one that you had?
Let's see, we had Hercules Unchained. Yeah, that was week before. That was a fun movie. Gayest movie I've ever seen. And the week the week before that, the only movie I've seen where the men's skirts were shorter than the women's. Week before that, we did, I can't even remember the movie. But we started this whole thing off with Plan 9 from Outer Space.
A classic.
So, like I said, we're not getting anybody listening into us on Wednesday night because apparently everybody's doing something. But, hey, eventually we're going to work all the bugs out of this. And it's entertaining, and it's in the middle of the week. And what the hell else are you going to do in the middle of the week?
Right.
All right, well.
Security Guards in Space, the trailer will be coming out probably within the next 2 weeks. If I can ever get to sit down and actually finish filming the damn thing. I've got all my sets built and all that. And Gabe, you're going
to... Oh, yeah, you're a modder, huh?
Gabe's going to be impressed, I think.
Oh, very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've spent the past 6 weeks mastering SketchUp. So,
oh, that's sweet.
I've recreated a set, complete just using SketchUp.
Wow.
And of course the terrain effects or the terrain maker, that's a add-on to iClone, and like I said, it's an interesting project. I wanted to try to do two things and. We'll see how it turns out. And you can interview me after I turn it out.
I will definitely
very
do
cool.
that. And we know we always start off with an old flick of yours, so we'll start off with Moby Dick. So you got to do the director's commentary version of that.
I was thinking about doing that as you know, giving it as kind of like a double feature when I finish the Security Guards in Space trailer.
All right. Well, thank you everybody who was in the chat and everyone who listened on the stream. We'll be back here next week at Thursday at on Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm Kente and my co-host is
Neil Song.
And so we'll see you next week on the Spotlight.
See you guys.